Azania Musaka on 702.
It's now 10 minutes past 2. We're chatting to Devin Moonsami, the CEO of ICAF Training Institute now. So we look at dyslexia, but particularly how people with dyslexia are supported or not supported in the workplace. It affects 5% to 10% of people. And it can also impact on how you approach your work, because so often it can be misunderstood, misdiagnosed. Often students are labeled as poor students or lazy, and it can lead to despondence and dropouts. So how do you manage your dyslexia, especially in the workplace? Devin, thank you so much for joining us. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Azania. Thank you very much.
Yes. So you do a lot of training. You go into different organizations. So you encounter some of the issues that arise in the workplace. When I threw this out earlier on, one person said it is not a disability. But you are saying that this is an unseen type of disability in the workplace that is not necessarily accommodated or thought much about. What is it? A disorder or disability? And where does it really sit within when it comes to employment and employment equity?
Yeah, it's a good question. You see, the definition of a disability in the working context is anything that prohibits or inhibits somebody from fulfilling or performing their tasks in any usual manner than somebody else would. Mm-hmm. So if this prevents you from performing in the same way that your colleague would, then it is considered as some level of a disability. And if I can just elaborate, we've seen in the past couple of years more and more learners coming in to our organization, the IHF Training Institute, where they've been not openly disclosing their level of dyslexia within their team members and then or their managers. And then they come into a learnership and struggle to complete assignments and portfolios of evidence. And this is what prompted me actually to research a little bit more and write the article that I wrote. Because this year in particular, we have 4 students who have dyslexia, and what they all have in common is the employer was unaware.
And how did the abilities to carry out their roles, or even how they perceived within the workplace, how has it impacted?
Yeah, look, a higher learning, if you talk about the learnership example now, when they come onto a training program, it can be very administrative. So you need to complete assignments. You'll need to be able to do reflective work. You'll have to perhaps interpret charts and graphs, and can be a lot of reading. And sometimes, for example, a textbook can easily go up to 1,000 pages. Mm-hmm. And if somebody does have dyslexia, one could just imagine how daunting a textbook of 1,000 pages would look. And these people perhaps are more technically based in their work organization or in the corporate environment, mm-hmm. where they're not working as much with the paperwork administrative side. And then we detect this, Azania, when they come onto a formal learning and development platform like ours. And we've had to then make provision now for this particular learner.
Yes, and we will look at some of the provisions, some of the ideas around what workplaces can start to implement. I recall at school, people who suffer from dyslexia would end up being labeled as lazy or poor students. And it can make someone really despondent and not able to offer the best side of their talent.
The worst is, you know, Johnny can read so well. What's wrong with you?
Yes.
You know, why can't you manage that paragraph? It's so easy.
That was such a daunting moment in school. Remember when we had to read out loud? We'd go one by one by one, pick up and carry on where the other person left off. There's just so much pressure.
Yeah. Now, Zania, try and put it into context. Even adults are intimidated to tell fellow colleagues in the work environment. Try and imagine a 7-year-old. Mm-hmm. Who's in a classroom environment, and the teacher you put into the spotlight, you've got to read now and you've got to follow on. I mean, how then do you have the level of confidence if you don't have it as a 30-year-old to be able to tell your colleagues now? How do you manage it at 7 or 8? I think sometimes it's a lack of knowledge, and, you know, some teachers may disagree with me, but, of a lack of understanding of dyslexia and a lack of questioning, writing, asking the right questions to interrogate whether the child does have it or not and how to deal with it. Perhaps we're just not, you know, and the numbers are small. I mean, you're saying 5 to 10%, you're 100% right. Okay. It doesn't affect larger numbers than that, which is why this hidden disability goes exactly in that direction, hidden. People hide.
But that's the thing. We want to create an inclusive society. So we need to solve problems when we create an environment, we need to be solving problems for all involved and not just say for people who don't suffer from dyslexia. Let's hear from Gareth in Parktown North. Good afternoon, Gareth.
Hi, Danielle.
Yes, welcome.
Thanks very much for this topic. It's something that I've dealt with my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I have dyslexia. I'm not so sure that it's a disability, though.
Yeah.
From my perspective, the only frustration in the work environment is the current way people expect you to work, because obviously managers need some sort of oversight and you need to report to them. And that's something I've always struggled at.
Mm.
But the contrary to that is, because I struggle to read, I'm very good with my visual and audio learning, to the point where most of the time you say something once to me and I remember it, so it's been printed. And the job I work in negotiation, it actually gives me a distinct advantage, because I never have to sort of refer to anything or go back to anything. It's all simply recorded in my head. And I find it a great advantage in the field of work I do. But early on in my career, it was a bit of a struggle in terms of reporting to managers, because I struggled with that and they thought I wasn't doing the work when I could actually do the work better than most of my counterparts.
Yes, and did you ever disclose though, Gareth?
No, I never disclosed it. I was fortunate enough to have a very dedicated mother who identified it very early on in my life, and I had assistance in learning how to, I wouldn't say cope with it, just how to use it as an advantage rather than what's being reported now as a disability. I really don't think it's a disability. I think people just with dyslexia just need to interact differently with individuals, and unfortunately it just doesn't conform to how society expects people to interact with individuals.
Yes, and that's exactly some of the things that we'll be exploring about how to interact, or means of interaction that accommodate everybody. Gareth, thank you so much for your call.
Thanks. Cheers.
Thank you. I mean, you can imagine he's got reams and reams of documents to go through, and it's just simply not comfortable. Devin, you've heard what Gareth has had to say. This exemplifies what you've seen.
Yes, absolutely. I like also that Gareth mentioned that some of his other skills have been honed in on and almost fine-tuned, and he can apply that into the work environment. For example, what the listeners or some people may not be aware of is people with dyslexia often have massive strengths, particularly, I would say, in the area of good memory, spatial awareness, intelligence, in understanding physics as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody does have dyslexia, a very administrative job that requires a hell of a lot of reading can possibly turn the person off from even applying for that particular position.
Mm-hmm.
So it almost discourages on a level. So people tend to look at the specs of the position, and then they'll probably be turned off. Whereas I'm saying that sometimes organizations can be a little bit more accommodating and supportive. The other thing that Gareth, that stood out for me, what Gareth said, was he still hasn't necessarily disclosed to everybody. It's not an easy thing, Azania, for people to just come out and say, listen, I have a reading, a slight challenge with reading. Because this is something that, you know, it's what we measured on. If you can't read, then, you know, there must be something wrong with you. Which is not the case, really.
Yeah, we're equated with intelligence or even ability. That's what happens. We start to think that you're not smart enough, or you're not capable of doing that particular job. So earlier you sent me a typeface for dyslexia. I found it really comfortable, very, very comfortable. What's the history of Open Dyslexic, which is this typeface designed against some common symptoms of dyslexia?
Yeah, look, it's a lovely font, and it's, like you say, it's Open Dyslexic, and it's a font that makes it so easy for operating systems like Microsoft and Apple and Android and Linux to operate with, and those other apps. And what happens is you can download it, and it's just become so easy for people with dyslexia to be able to read. And you'll see the font is almost like larger at the bottom and a little bit skinnier sort of at the top.
Yes.
You know, and some words are sort of, I don't know if you can see, not bold, but they vary in terms, where the ink is blotted, the thickness, exactly.
Mm.
So some words would be almost highlighted and others. And this, Azania, makes it very easy for people with dyslexia to be able to follow and read. I would say that this should become mandatory for most organizations to have a level of awareness of and include it in their, you know, and then people become a little bit more open and transparent. Oh, this font works for me because actually I did suffer dyslexia or, you know, that type of thing.
Yes.
It's a wonderful tool, really.
Well, I wonder if anybody's using it out there, someone who has dyslexia, who is using this typeface for dyslexia called Open Dyslexic. Has it made a huge difference? We'll take your calls on 011-883-0702 and 31702 for your SMSs. I'm joined by Devin Munsami, who's the CEO of the IHAF Training Institute, and we're looking at different interventions that you can look at in the workplace. Maybe what HR needs to start thinking about when it comes to means of interacting, as we even heard from Gareth, that he has a great memory, a good memory, and he's able to remember things that he's heard versus what has been captured in the written form. So we'll take your calls. How do you manage or deal with your dyslexia in the workplace? Have you had to disclose to your colleagues, to your manager? Have you been judged because you have dyslexia and perhaps lost out on opportunities because of the fact that so much of what we do is expected to happen in a written exchange? It's 011-883-0702 and 31702 for your SMSs, your tweets. It's at Azania underscore and at Radio 702.
Azania Moussaka on 702. Call Azania on 011-883-0702.
23 minutes past two. Gabela MG says dyslexics make great entrepreneurs too. Examples are Saul Kirzner, Tony Factor, Richard Branson, and Henry Ford. That's coming through on Twitter. But this afternoon, we're talking about dyslexia and how you manage and cope with it in the workplace. Has it left you at a disadvantage? So before we continue our chat with Devin Munsami, the CEO of IHAF Training Institute, just need to correct something. There is the stones throwing that I referenced earlier. It's not around Lanseria. It's in Lanay. Asia. Someone has just updated that, saying that drivers are being alerted that there are tyres burning on the roads on the N12 west heading towards Lanesia between the pedestrian bridge and Samford Nansfield Bridge. And there are also reports of a protest at Death Bend on the N12 east heading out of Lanesia as well. So if you are driving in that area, just make sure that you're careful, as JMPD have been notified. It's an unsigned one, but thank you for that update, as we received an SMS earlier saying alerting us to this protest on the N12. Let's go back to our conversation, and don't forget the lines are open to you if you're curious about how you can manage dyslexia. There is this Open Dyslexic typeface, which is now available, which you can download on different gadgets, in fact, because it just makes reading so much easier because of the type of font it is, and it's constantly being improved upon. But there are other techniques, other things that can be introduced within teams to make it easier for dyslexic team members. And Devin Munsami has been looking at these through his training institute. So even not just the Open Dyslexic typeface, but even the email that you sent, Devin, was left aligned. So what, left aligned texts are easier to read?
Yes, it is. The format is better for people with reading difficulties, and it also has a slightly larger typeface. So if you're going to go from 12 points in your email upwards, then you'll find that somebody with dyslexia will generally be able to read it a little bit better and use many paragraph breaks and wider spacing. Mm-hmm. So in your emails, we just have to be, and actually, if you look at email etiquette, our emails should be written in a very easy to follow format. Everybody actually gets lost in one heavy paragraph, you know, with lots of words. So people generally lose interest in sentence two or three. So if we're going to break our paragraph, then try and be very, very, you know, careful in terms of visually how this email looks before I click send. It will help the reader comprehend it a little bit better, even people without dyslexia for that matter. As Anya, I just have to mention, you mentioned Richard Branson. Mm-hmm. Now, he was labeled by some of his teachers as stupid in one of his autobiographies. So, you know, in his school, he was actually seen as a dim child, as opposed, and I mean, just look at the level of success that he's been able to achieve.
That is absolutely. So it does mean that there's an intuitiveness that becomes even more critical.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Definitely. And some of the other skill sets where in somebody who has a fantastic reading ability on paper may not be able to hone in on the skill, as opposed to a person with dyslexia who can flourish in another skill set. So, yeah, definitely.
So Gareth's example, for instance, talks about how communicating with his superiors, of course, he was perceived in the incorrect light because of maybe how he preferred to communicate. So what can we introduce? What should teams be looking at as means of accommodating everyone?
Mm-hmm. The telltale signs definitely are people who are not participating as actively in structured team forums.
Oh.
So when you have a group of individuals coming into a meeting, mm-hmm. somebody who consistently wouldn't bring, email, but wouldn't bring any text to support the argument, and some people who will only focus not necessarily on PowerPoint presentations or other pieces of writing, who just rely heavily on speaking, you know, the sending verbal messages to the team. And in other cases, they'll just become very quiet when we're asked to read a paragraph or a segment. And what happens in a structured team forum? It would say, let's all take a look at paragraph 13. And everybody's silent for about 5 minutes, and then we're all processing. But there could be one person who's, you know, who's not paying as much attention, whose eyes are shifting. These are definitely indications. It's also very awkward to ask a group, you know, who has, you know, a challenge with reading. Because not every, you know, even if somebody does, you're not necessarily going to put your hand up and say, hey, listen, it's me. Because there's still a slight, hesitation or a stigma attached to it.
Yeah, so one-on-ones.
The one-on-ones is an ideal platform to be able to drop the barrier and have a very real discussion. What Gareth's mother did, I think, you know, parents, you know, most parents, you know, his mom's very supportive. Most parents will detect it from an early on or an early age. Family support around the subject and breaking barriers to talk about it is absolutely critical. It then becomes easier for us to be able to express it within our friendship circles and within the work environment.
Here's an SMS that says, hi, Zanya and Richard Branson have great interpersonal skills, which is an excellent trait. So there are things we can do. Find someone to communicate on behalf of the team. Accept messages via voice, for instance, and not just simply stick to text. So we can do things to make sure that everybody is catered for.
We can, Zanya. And one other thing I'd like to mention is, the listener said, okay, interpersonal skills from Richard Branson. If you want to read Richard Branson's book, audible.com is another program, just like Open Dyslexic. Audible.com is an application or an app, and there are many other free Audible apps that you could download. Mm-hmm. But you could get fantastic books to listen to, and they read so beautifully. Mm-hmm. So, you're able to listen and comprehend all of these great pieces of work. And basically expand your knowledge in these different areas. And this specifically will help people with dyslexia as well, where you're listening to a great novel, you're listening to somebody's autobiography, as opposed to sitting with this daunting 600-page book.
Well, wonderful, Devin. Thank you so much. Maybe one day we'll talk about dyscalculia, which is the difficulty with arithmetic.
Yes, one day we could. Thank you for having me, Zanya, and thank you to listeners.
Thank you. That's Devin Moonsami, the CEO of ICHAF Training Institute.